SOP287. Today we're going to answer some podcasting questions and we get some insight on radio.
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. This is where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to producing to promoting to monetizing. Everything you need to start a podcast, you can find it at theschoolofpodcasting.com. If you'd like to contact me, I would love to hear from you. My preferred method is just to call it in. It's 888-563-3228. That number is courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. That means if you're across the pond and you have a Skype out number, you can actually dial that number and it's still free. You can also email me, Dave at schoolofpodcasting.com, or you can leave a comment out at the blog at schoolofpodcasting.com. We're just going to jump into some quick questions here. This one's from Dave Woodson. It says, Dave, I want to be able to drop in like talk guys on radio, like they do funny sounds, a bit of music or something like that without post-production. In other words, we call that podcasting live. Do you know of a tool or an app that can do that? There's a website, blackcatsystems.com. It has a few, both apps and as well as like desktop applications. If you're looking for free and you're on a PC, check out podproducer.net. That will allow you to assign buttons, sounds to buttons that you just click on and it will play that. Now that requires that typically you have another computer that is going to then feed into maybe a mixer that then goes either into your second computer or into a portable recorder, something of that nature. Another thing that to keep in mind in terms of if you just want to do music, your portable player, whether it be an iPod or a Zune or whatever, you can use that to cue up music and then you've got an easy way to fade in and out. And again, you would just plug that into a mixer. So Dave, thanks so much for the question. It was great meeting you in PodCamp Cincy. Here's another question. Dave, for podcasting on a beginner level, do you think, this is from Peter in Russia, do you think this microphone that's mentioned in this YouTube video called a Blue Snowball could be a good choice for me, keeping in mind that I'll probably need to record conversations between two and three people. It might cost about $70. Do you know any details about its pros and cons? I help somebody who does a podcast who uses a Blue Snowball. The pros of it are it sounds okay. It is what's called a condenser microphone, which picks up a lot of outside noise. Not so much that I think it's distracting, but it does. But what I tell my client in that case is to get right up on the microphone. She has a pop filter, and so she doesn't have to turn the mic up so loud. And that works, and it actually has a decent tone to it. So would a blue microphone work? It would work if you're doing solo. Now, what I don't like about it is it's a USB microphone. And here's the thing about USB microphones. They dictate that you record directly into a computer. And while that's okay 99.9% of the time, there is going to be that one time when you lose your recording. And everybody's been there, everybody's done that, and you have no choice to that. Now, the other thing is, when you buy a USB microphone, it doesn't have to be the blue. If you use any kind of USB microphone, USB interface, that in the future, if you want to have multiple guests where everybody has their own microphone, plugging multiple USB microphones into your computer, number one, is a huge hassle. And in some cases, I believe borderline impossible without a lot of tweaking. And that's why I like to use microphones, the microphone with a mixer combination. Because number one, like I said, we were talking in the previous question, you could throw your iPod or any kind of portable, you know, playing device into your mixer and mix music in. Things of that nature. And then also, you could start off with an inexpensive microphone, which we'll be talking about here in a second. But you could start off with an inexpensive microphone and then later upgrade to whatever. You know, a Shure SM58, you could go up to a Heil PR40 if you've got the budget for it. And those will work with a baby little, you know, starter mixer. So it's everything's upgradable. Now, with a USB microphone, you're kind of stuck with it. And if you then later go to a mixer microphone match, that microphone is just going to sit there. So, which of course you could always sell on eBay. Now, he talks about, I've realized that it's hard for me to decide. Oh, we'll get to that in a second. So inexpensive microphones, check out the Audio Technica M4000S and, you know, a cheap mixer. You can go with any kind of Behringer 1202 or things of that nature. That would be, and you're really not going to be that much more expensive than if you bought the actual Blue Snowball. Now, in terms of, especially, I've heard people try to record multiple people, because even the Blue Snowball is supposed to have a pattern you can flip on that really picks up everything around the microphone. It does, which is good, but you're going to end up sounding like people are in the room and they have to talk loud, and so you're going to get a lot of room noise. So it's just not like the chair, right? You're going to pick that up. I really need to get a new chair. So that's going to come out loud and clear even more, because I'm using my Electrovoice RE320, but I really need to find a new chair. So keep that in mind. He said, I've also realized that it's really hard for me to decide on the intro text for my new podcast. The reason is we still haven't agreed on the whole concept. We still can't understand how our podcast will create value for listeners. This is what I call a ready, fire, aim scenario. As much as I hate to see people who plan and then plan and then plan and then plan and then plan, and when they're done with that, they plan some more, so they end up with paralysis by analysis. This is the opposite. This is I'm hitting the record button and I'm not sure what I'm going to talk about yet. That's the direct opposite. That's the polar ends of the spectrum. One is, I'm going to make sure everything is absolutely 100% perfect. The other one is, I'm going to hit record and figure it out later. And so you need to figure out what your podcast is about. In business, they have mission statements. You know, mine is, we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to producing to monetizing. If it's about podcasting, I'm going to talk about it here. And so that's how I decide what I'm going to talk about on this show. Now, I have another show called More Podcast Money. That is simply all about monetizing your podcast. You can find that at More Podcast Money. So I'm not going to talk about, you know, how to record on that show. I'm not going to talk about software unless it's software that can then help you make money with your podcast. So you need to have an idea of what your podcast is about. Now, that doesn't mean that in the future, you can't change the direction of your podcast. But you need to know your target so you can try to hit it. So keep that would be my, I would say, go ahead and, you know, play with the recording, get that down. But I wouldn't release a podcast until you really fine tune what it is that you're going to be talking about. This next one comes up from we're going to talk with Scott here in a second. Scott Island, he says, I've got some quotes on my website for the podcast, and oh my, is it pricey? He says, I just got a quote for $400 for a WordPress theme modification. An all-inclusive package ran $2,000 in Canadian, which of course they would then tack on a 13% tax. I know how to pick them, don't I? He says, I know album art runs about $50 through one of the links on my website, but is there a way to set up a good website without applying for a second mortgage? I suppose I could use the prefab themes, but my goodness, running the gauntlet with these folks is maddening. You do get what you paid for, but there's definitely such a thing as way too expensive. And so what I have done, he said, would you suggest a free theme to get started with a possibility to invest as it becomes feasible? That's what I'm leaning towards. Yeah, you can always start it. Go to Sessions with Slough. That's Sessions with SLAU.com. Now, this is a podcast that is kind of on hiatus. Let me go there myself. Sessions with SLAU.com. And except I typed it wrong. Sessions with SLAU. I type dyslexic. There we go. And this is a friend of mine that he actually just put out a new episode. No, his last episode, it's interesting. Yeah, okay, it's been a year because it's now 2012. This is the basic WordPress theme. He just had a friend of his who was a graphic artist do a professional graphic. And so when you go to the site, it doesn't look horrible. It's very, he doesn't have, it's just, this was a person that just wanted to do a quick podcast. He does it whenever he can. He's got a couple quick pages. But, you know, to me, the key is getting good graphics. You can make a basic theme look great with great graphics. And when you have, when you find somebody who makes their own graphics, they fire up Microsoft Paint and they don't have that eye, it's obvious. I mean, I'm not a great graphic person and I'm always amazed that what I think looks okay, and then I'll get a graphic person involved and it just looks so much better when you get somebody with that graphics background involved in making that. So yeah, you can start off free. And I actually sent Scott a link to a website called Mystique. Now that's Mystyque. And you can find that over at digitalnature.eu. I would not look for this in WordPress. For whatever reason, the latest version of this is not in WordPress. So go to digitalnature.eu. It's a pretty cool theme. It's free and it has some built-in social networking tools, things of that nature, fairly customizable. And I have a friend of mine that's using it and he seems to like it. So there are decent free themes out there. I always say this though, with themes, with anything that you are using that is free, you end up paying in time instead of money. Now, realize that you can get album, you can get a banner made for around $50, depending on who you're using. Some people charge more. And you can get a thesis theme, is what I've used on the School of Podcasting for years. I don't use it now, but I did use it in the past. And it's highly customizable. And it is around $90. Now, obviously, $90 is a long way off from free, but you can easily go in and say, I want one column, two columns, and you can easily add things to kind of pop in there, and you can adjust the colors, and it's just a really cool theme. I like it a lot. Plus, there's a huge community that is using Thesis. So instead of paying $400, you spend $90 on – let me make sure that's the right – I'm doing that off the top of my head – the price of Thesis here. And okay, yeah, it is. A personal option is $87. And that's for one website. You can do that. Spend another $50 to $100 on a decent graphic for the top. And for basically $200, your website is good to go. Plus, then you've got your hosting. And that's the other thing I wanted to not so much answer a question about, just give some insights on. And that is two services I do not like and why. We've talked about things like Blog Talk Radio in the past, and two systems that I do not like. One is WordPress.com. Now realize I'm talking about using WordPress.org, which is where you install WordPress on your website. And your website you can get for basically about $8 a month. Just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/hosting. And you'll see my preferred web host, and you can install WordPress in about 5 clicks. And some people like to use WordPress.com because it's, here's that word again, free. And when I try to do things on that website, it A, either won't let you do it, or B, is so slow that it doesn't work, because basically your computer is waiting so long for their website to catch up to yours. It'd be like if you're trying to talk to somebody and the person you were talking to was so slow. You just, look, I can't, I'm out of here. I can't sit here and wait. And that's basically what happened when I've had a couple of people that have been working with WordPress.com, and it's super easy to move. You simply export your items from WordPress.com and then import them into your website where you have complete control. Now, the other thing is the person I was working with, you can, I thought we could have a player, you know, where you go and you click on it and it opens up and you can listen to all the episodes. Well, the player I was going to use that was free is over at player.podtrack.com. Have I talked about this in the past? I can't remember if I have or not. And basically, to make a long story short, on WordPress.com, you can't put JavaScript. So they control a lot of what you do. You're kind of roped into what you get is what you got. That is it. You can't really go above and beyond. And it's slow. Now, take that same model of you get what you got, and it's slow, and apply it to GoDaddy hosting. Huge fan of their domain name service. Not a huge fan of their commercials, but I will say this. At one point, I was a GoDaddy reseller, And I quit because they just nickel and dime you to death. You can order hosting and it's only $1.99, but then if you want to check your stats, it's another whatever. And then, hey, I want to know how much bandwidth I'm using. Oh, well, that's that. Oh, and can I see the stats to see who's typing in what to get to my website? Oh, that's another additional. They nickel and dime you to death and it's slow. And in some cases, they're very, very picky as to what you can do with your website. So I say that because I had somebody today said, hey, yeah, I was doing this and that, and they were having some issues. And I said, are you using GoDaddy hosting? And they went, yeah. And I went, yeah, that's not going to work. Love them for their domain name. I've used other service. They have great tech support. Hate their hosting. And I've helped many a person move from WordPress.com and WordPress.org. So that's it for the Q&A section. What we're going to do here is I have talked in the past about radio, and I talked in the last episode about how I have a new respect for people that do radio, because you're really handcuffed in terms of what you can say. Then you've got to meet these deadlines, these time deadlines, and it's just kind of it makes it much more challenging to be creative with your hands tied behind your back. And so if you've ever been in radio and got out of it, or ever thought, hey, I'd like to go into radio, this is probably going to explain to you that, you know what, podcasting, you can probably get a bigger audience than going on an AM radio station and doing your show there. Plus, you won't have the time constraints. Plus, you get to decide how long the show is going to be. Plus, you get to decide how often you put out a show. Plus, you get to decide everything about the show. You have complete control. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to my interview with Scott Eiland. Well, joining me via Skype here on Christmas Eve, thank you so much for taking time away from your lasagna to come talk to me. I really appreciate it. It's Scott. Mm-hmm. It looks like Eiland, or is it
Eiland? That's correct.
It's Eiland. Okay.
It's Eiland. You got it.
And Scott,
first shot out of the box.
There you go. And what I'm looking for here, Scott actually has a background in radio. Now, he has said it's been a while since you were officially in the radio game, but I wanted to get some perspective on what radio was like back in the day. How long has it been since you were in radio?
I'd say about 15 years since I've been in the game. It's been a long time, and the whole reason that it's been 15 years is it was not a good experience, to say the least. Basically, I had dreams when I was in high school. Everybody said I had a voice for it. They said that I would be an excellent announcer, an excellent radio personality. And back in the late 80s and early 90s, and I'm dating myself a little, that still seemed like it was an upwardly mobile career track to me, especially since everywhere I went, they told me that I should do this. And so I enrolled at Baylor University in their telecommunications program, which is what they called the broadcast communications program. They had a radio station there, and it was pretty much state of the art. They didn't have a TV station yet, but I wasn't that worried about that. I wanted to be on the radio. That was what I liked. This was at the beginning of the new talk radio boom, where there were all of a sudden you were having talk radio nationally syndicated. And this was a major thing because it revitalized AM radio. And so I was full of spit and vinegar. I was ready. I was ready to do this. Mm-hmm. The only problem was that there were several issues. I wasn't the only person with this idea. I had a sports background. I was a very frustrated athlete in high school, and I thought that maybe doing it through sports or through talk would be my thing. The problem is every time a job came up, there were so many applicants that it took people. You had to get lucky to get an interview. Mm. And the one time that I did get in the door that had a relatively attractive situation, they said, okay, great, but you'll have to relocate to the place you've never been to. And oh, by the way, the salary is $12,000 a year. And even in 1993 dollars,
yeah,
that's not much. Basically, I realized that I could graduate and then get any sort of entry level job and make twice that.
Right.
And that just, and there were other issues at play, but it made me realize that I didn't want it that badly.
Right.
Not enough to starve myself.
Wow.
And yeah, the other way would have been to just get in the door as a call screener or something, or start even cleaning up part time and getting in that way. And that's how a lot of folks did it. Now, I still recommend that. If you want in the radio business, just go to a radio station and volunteer. But I did some of that, and that's what kept me plugged in for a while. But the problem that I ran into on top of that was you had folks, the people who were in charge of the radio station and the talent, the program directors. Program directors, generally speaking, the way I saw it was what they seemed to have graduated all from the same school in the mid-70s, and they never updated their jig. They always said, you know, you got to give the time and temperature, pound that time and temperature. Never mind that everybody's got a digital clock in their car. Never mind that it's easy enough to find out what the weather is. No, but they want to hear about time and temperature, and any sort of program that they want to run, any sort of different idea that I might have had. It was, you think it's hard to get folks to change their mind in a regular corporate environment. Multiply that by four, and I think you have the average radio program director. And it just was really frustrating. And everybody I knew of who worked for these folks was miserable. They never put any money into the product. They never put any money into the talent. They were sitting on these chairs that I think were relics from the Civil War. everything went into other stuff. But I don't know where they put their money, or whether there ever was any money, or whether a lot of these places were running at a deficit.
Right.
But in Texas, in the mid-90s, I just decided I'd be better off in sales, and that's where I started. That's where I ended up, making a career for a while.
Now, when you were on the radio, did you have any control? Like, you always, you think back to the days of Wolfman Jack, where he was just going crazy and playing whatever he wanted to play and saying whatever he wanted to say. Sure. Were there some fairly strict guidelines as to what you could and couldn't do?
Extremely strict. At the one place that wanted to be a top 40 radio station but didn't have a strong enough signal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to run anybody into the ground here, but if somebody called in wanting to play X, if it didn't fall under, you had four guidelines, and if it didn't hit three or four, you weren't to play it.
Mm.
I was working the overnights, and even I couldn't do that. They let me get away with some. I was freestyling a little bit more at 3 a.m, but nobody was listening.
Right.
You didn't have any control. You had to get the most remote change to the format or to the to what you were supposed to talk about. The morning guys were miserable because they couldn't. It was even more rigid for them. Because their view was, in order to get the salespeople happy, you had to do something a certain way, a certain time, and make sure you had to organize everything a certain way. It was misery.
That's the thing I've noticed about radio is I have more respect now for radio people because they have to be creative and entertaining, and yet they have to do it at such time intervals and stuff that you have just these little gaps of time to, okay, be funny in 18 seconds, it's ridiculous.
Right. Right. And it's not like ad time is getting easier to sell.
Right.
We're talking about a market that is, unfortunately it's in decline and satellite radio, which I thought was going to be a boon, hasn't turned out to be one.
Mm-hmm.
For the same reasons. The same reasons that generic radio, that traditional radio is having problems, because we are in a society that is now 24/7 on demand. And the best thing, and the problem with radio is you are in a moment of time. And if people have choices now, thanks to podcasting and other such modes of entertainment, I hope you don't hear my cat in the background. just started complaining.
That's all right.
I don't know about what. She totally lost my train of thought. But basically, you have a moment in time, and you're watching Arbitron ratings. You're watching, and back when I was in it, it was all nobody knew how to read those things. Mm. I mean, my boss couldn't read them. The guy running the station had no idea what they meant. And they just basically said, we're not getting enough. They would just find out what their ad rate was. And if it was too low, they'd say, we have to do this, this, and this. And the ideas were never good. I don't really mean to bury these guys. They were trying their best, but
yeah.
it was a flawed model. And it was a model that had a time, an expiration date. Now, in the late 80s, when WFAN radio started, that was the advent of 24-hour sports. Mm-hmm. When CNN joined the TV situation in the 80s, that opened up more avenues for all news. So there were ideas and fantastic ones. The problem is that when we were in a 24-hour news cycle, being in this same format from the 70s just wasn't working for people. And so the customers left.
Right.
And now people have MP3 players in their cars. They have other modes. They have their iPods. And there's, I don't think that generic radio is ever going to be able to compete with that, not on the same level. So
not unless they change, you know?
And yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to have a podcast now. It's going to be generally now you can get almost every radio station as a, you know, most radio stations have podcast formats, but they're going to have to update that. I mean, WFN in New York is the gold standard of all standard radio talk, and they're slowly availing their products on the internet. It's not the way it was.
Right.
Shoot.
Well, so tell us what now, because you're getting ready to launch a podcast. You're getting there, and tell us about kind of that progress. How did you finally scratch your head and go, you know, I might want to do one of those there things?
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I was also a columnist back in the day for the Summit Herald in New Jersey. A weekly newspaper that they paid me as a 17-year-old $5 a week to write a column, and I thought I was a millionaire. And that started that's what started this whole thing rolling. Now, the reason that's important, fast forward to 2007. I'm recovering from surgery, and I'm sitting in my apartment, and I stumble on an online horse racing game called simhorseracing.com. Now, this is a niche market, mm-hmm. but it is a highly passionate group of about 1,000 people that love this game, and they needed somebody to write articles about it. And there was a need, and I saw something that I could exercise my writing muscles. And I started writing, and pretty soon I was writing two or three times a week, and I was loving every second of it. I started, there was the National Novel Writing Month thing, NaNoWriMo, and I did that in 2007. All of a sudden, my creative juices are wakened up after a long, long dormant period.
Yeah.
And now, all of a sudden, I'm doing all this stuff, and it happens to be the most fun I've had in a decade, and I realize and on top of that, my day job, which is a night job, I work in the accounting department of a trucking company.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my iPod on all day. And what do I listen to keep my brain occupied? Because the work, frankly, it's a little dull. Though to keep my brain occupied, I listen to podcasts. And it took me about a year and a half to realize that I could actually do that myself. And then I basically started doing a podcast for my online horse racing column, just off Podbean. It was just something to get started. I paid their little $5 a month, and by the way, I don't recommend joining those guys. It's it just there's something working. The stuff doesn't add up. I've had this site for 2 months and they've still got me. They haven't rolled over my data plan. It's been over 60 days. So just an aside, just a little information. I've been running this. I'm supposedly getting like the same that you would get from the Libsyn $15 plan or right. the Blueberry $20 plan. And only I've been at it for 60 days and they haven't flipped. It shows that I've got 12% left out of my allowance.
Interesting.
I got to talk to them or migrate all my content, and I think it's going to be option B.
Yeah.
That's another thing. That's a whole other thing. The point is I got started and I got me in the door. And I thought to myself, this stinks. I need help. And I realized, and then I started downloading a couple of your podcasts, the Morning Announcements podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I liked what I heard. I went on your website. I liked what I saw. I liked what I heard out of the podcast. And I said, I can do this, and I'll use my favorite sport as a launching pad. And my favorite sport happens to be baseball. So I went on GoDaddy. I found I realized that there was a market for somebody who had a very positive and uplifting approach to baseball and covered it from a historical perspective, didn't just focus on the East Coast, covered all 30 teams in the major leagues, and focused on what a fantastic experience the game of baseball is and to go to a game is. So I created the baseball experience. Is it the best domain name in the world? Of course not. This is my first shot at it. But my wife is the one who came up with this whole idea. And come New Year's, come the turnover of 2012, I'm starting this podcast. And I'm going to follow as many of your recommendations as my wallet can stand. and that means getting an upgraded microphone, getting a pop screen, getting a mixer board, getting the cables, and eventually, and I'm going to have to drag my wife to this one, getting the portable recorder so that I can do this anywhere. I feel like I found a way for me to get my message out, to tap into those old passions that I never was able to tackle. And even though I'm running the same challenges that every starting podcaster runs into, you have to put out some money and you have to deal with things like what are the rules governing affiliate marketing and stuff like that.
Right.
And that's all well and good. I understand that, but the way I feel about this now, it's full speed ahead. January 5th is the National Hall of Fame elections. One of my favorite places in the world, the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. And my debut podcast will be covering that. And I cannot wait. It's going to be so much fun for me. And if I happen to get to a point where I can actually make some cash off this, great. But the most important thing is I just feel revitalized by this whole idea of being able to be my own program director. I don't have to go to anybody. I don't have to interview for the job. I just have to go do it. And if I do what you guys tell me to do, and if I keep trying and learning, I don't see a ceiling as far as that goes. And I'm open to doing other stuff too. I mean, I've got a passion for movie reviews and cooking, which is what we paused so that I could do this interview.
Okay.
And I'm going to be talking about all kinds of stuff, and it's going to be great. It's going to be I'm thinking about 30 to 45 minutes a week, and using all the recommendations that the School of Podcasting that I can stand from the School of Podcasting. Now, some of the stuff's kind of expensive, but the point is to get started, and we'll see where it takes us.
That's
excited.
It. Nobody said you have to come out of the gate. You know, if you go back and listen to my early stuff, you know, we all start someplace, you know, and it's one of those things it's like you said, you can get a mixer and you can always upgrade the microphone later, you know, and then, you know, you don't need to have a portable recorder, but they're kind of handy, you know, so, you know, you can kind of get it out of the gate and it's like buying a car and souping it up, you know, you don't need to have a dual carburetor and everything else just to get going. So, well, Scott, thanks so much for giving us a little insight into radio and I can hear the passion in your voice, the fact that it's like free. I think of Mel Gibson, you know, in what was that, Braveheart? Freedom. Yeah, freedom. Yes. You know,
so. Unfortunately, they weren't quite that brutal to me in the radio business, but that's okay. I'm totally with you, and I'm glad to help, and I'm really, thanks for having me, Dave. This is going to be fun, and I'm really looking forward to making this work.
Well,
for us.
Obviously, it doesn't exist yet because here it is. We're still in December. But for those people that are listening to this in February, what is your domain name?
It's going to be thebaseballexperience.com. Thebaseballexperience.com. I'm setting up a Twitter, The Baseball Experience, and I'm also going to eventually set up a Facebook page for it.
Cool.
It's going to be The Baseball Experience to start, and if you follow me on Twitter, I'm going to have other stuff going on too.
Cool.
So, I'm still going to be podcasting from my online gaming site. So if you're into horse racing, simhorseracing.com is a great place to visit. Check it out. And I'm going to be still doing that, although it's going to take a backseat to my actual podcast. But
awesome.
But that's all that stuff I'm really excited. I almost want to get the holidays over with so I can get moving.
Doggone Christmas.
Yeah. Getting in the way.
Say a stupid Santa Claus. All right.
Yeah, really.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I'll let you get back to your lasagna.
All right. Great.
Thanks, man. Have a good
night. Dave.
Have a great holiday. There you go, Scott. Thank you so much. Especially as you heard, we recorded that on Christmas Eve. Super great guy. And you can see again, here's somebody that I actually cleaned up that audio a little bit. He was using a headset, but he said, you know, I'm going to start here and, you know, maybe later I will upgrade to something like Thesis. By the way, I forgot, I have an affiliate link for Thesis. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/thesis, that'll take you right over there and actually earn a little commission if you actually buy it. And that would be greatly appreciated. And, you know, he's got a passion for it, realizes that he can do this. And we're looking forward to him publishing his first episode. And the other thing he knows is his first episode is not going to be as good as his 10th. Now, he's going to kick the tires and, you know, he's not going to just jump in and he's not going to do the ready, fire, aim. But anything you do when you start out, you're not going to be as good as you are after you've done it 10 times. I'm a guitar player. And when I first started playing the guitar, I sounded awful. I didn't have any calluses on my fingers and things like that. But I wanted to play. I had a passion to play and I enjoyed it and I had fun. And now I actually make money playing the guitar on occasion. And it's amazing that I can go out, do something that I love, and actually make money from it. So Scott is hoping he's going to follow his passion. He's thinking that, you know, maybe someday his podcast may throw him through a few shekels. It's not something that he's looking to, you know, right up front, quit his day job. He understands that. But his main thing is he has a passion for sports and he wants to talk about it. And he knows that his perspective is different than anybody else's because of his background. And because of what he likes and dislikes. And some people are going to like, and they're going to think a lot like he does. And some people are not. And that's okay. But he wants to talk about it and he's going to talk about it. And he just said, okay, how do I do it? And he joined the School of Podcasting and he logged in and said, wow, it's all here. And I said, yeah, I said, realize there's a lot of information there. So if you can't find what you're looking for, let me know and I'll get you going in the right direction. And I can do the same thing for you. I would love to help you. It's 2012. Come on. You said next year you'd start a podcast. Well, guess what? It's next year. And I would love to see you on the inside. So our website, schoolofpodcasting.com. I would love to hear from you. My email again, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments toll free, courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com, 888-563-3228. That number again, 888-563-3228. Or you can leave a comment out at our website at schoolofpodcasting.com. And of course, the School of Podcasting has everything you need to start a podcast. So I hope to see you on the inside. Until next week, class is dismissed. I would love to hear from you. My email again, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments toll free, courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com, 888-563-3228. That number again, 888-563-3228. Or you can leave a comment out at our website at schoolofpodcasting.com. And of course, the School of Podcasting has everything you need to start a podcast. So I hope to see you on the inside. Until next week, class is dismissed.